You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
And a happy final day of 2019 to you, Raider Nation. Eddie Pascal and producer Trav in the Beat Lab, a very cold, shivery Beat Lab at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway, a very quiet 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway in this final year, or excuse me, final day of the year 2019. And no secret here, the Silver and Black season has come to an end. It is concluded, but that means we've officially entered draft season. So that is very exciting. We are going to get more into that as the days, weeks, and months go on. But today we're focused on this year. The decade is about to wrap up. The year is going away. Also, guys, don't be dumb tonight. Don't drink and drive, baby. Just take that ride share. It's so simple. It's my PSA for you guys this evening. But we're focusing on 2019, the silver and black in this year. The good, the bad, the in-between, I guess you could say. But before we get into all that, before we get to transactions, we have a good guest today, a great guest, a guest that producer Trav has been very excited to get on the program, none other than Richie Incognito, who signed a two-year extension less than 24 hours ago with the team, and he was good enough to hang out in our studio, talk to us for a little bit before he broke for the offseason. So stick around, Rich Incognito, Victory Formation, KMM, all that good stuff coming up. But before all that begins, for the last time in 2019, transactions. So we're rocking and rolling as we typically do, well, every week it seems. But we were talking yesterday that we always forget how busy that day is after the season ends. You're always like, oh, things are kind of done now. It should be kind of easy, you know, relaxing. Incorrect. False. Not so. And every single year, I trick myself into thinking I'm going to leave early. I'm going to get out of here after lunch. And year after year, it does not happen. And a reason that happens is because we're rocking, baby. We got transactions. So what has happened since the last time we spoke? As I mentioned, signed Richie Incognito to a two-year extension. Great news for the continuity of this offensive line. And you look, I know we're focusing on 2019, but you look ahead to 2020, you're bringing all five of those big dogs back. And I think, once again, the strength of this team is going to be the offensive line. From left to right, you got Colton Miller, Richie, Big Rod in the middle, Gabe, and the greatest underdog as the other bookend. I like that a lot. I like where this is heading. Getting Richie's deal done. Great news for this team for 2020 and beyond. So, what else happened? Well, we announced our reserve future contracts. For those of you who don't know, it's essentially taking guys typically off of the practice squad. They can come from other teams' practice squads, other places like that. But 9 times out of 10, they come from our practice squad. And you essentially sign them to reserve futures deals. The Silver and Black did just that to a handful of guys yesterday. And those guys are as follows. Defensive end Ade Aruna. Defensive back Jordan Brown. Defensive end Kendall Donerson. Offensive lineman Kyle Cowlis. Center Eric Magnuson, and rounding it out, wide receiver Anthony Ratliff Williams, a.k.a. the notorious ARW. So, there it is, the reserve futures. Keep an eye to see if we do any more moving and shaking in the next couple days, especially as reserve futures are concerned. But we said it was a good show today, and we're going to get to Rich Incognito in just a second. But we have to look back at Sunday. In a weird, wild, funky, confusing regular season finale at Empower Stadium at Mile High, or whatever they're calling it, at Mile High. You guys know where we were in Denver. No disrespect to the good people at Empower, but they're not giving us any money, so I don't really feel that inclined to get it right. We all know where the game was, but it was a very bizarre game, a game of missed opportunities for the Silver and Black, which unfortunately has been kind of the theme in 19 for this team. But you take a quick look at the stats, and I was talking about this earlier this week, well, I guess technically yesterday since today's Tuesday, that oftentimes the stat sheet can be a little confusing, a little deceptive, and no more was that the case, or that wasn't the case anymore than you take a look at the stat book from Sunday. All told, DC goes for 391 yards and a tutty, by far his biggest output of 2019. Drew Lock, on the other hand, 177 yards. So Derek outgains him by more than 200. The Raiders run for almost 30 more yards on the ground. You're looking, how did the Raiders lose on Sunday? A missed field goal certainly doesn't help. Two very, very emphasis on very questionable calls at the goal line from our officiating crew. Throws a wrench in things. But it was just a weird game from the security guard who unfortunately had to be carted off in the final minutes after he blew out his knee, chasing down some buffoon who tried to get on the field. It was a game of funkiness. It was really cold. It was the whole thing, top to bottom, was weird. We thought with about 10 minutes left in the game that, all right, this is a wrap. Broncos are going to kind of take care of business. We're going to fly home with an L. Then fast forward a few minutes, what seems about an hour in real time because of all the crazy things that I was talking about, and the Raiders have a chance to win the game. Derek drives them, well, to be fair, about half the length of the field, connects with Hunter Renfrow on the tutty, and I think, I don't know if there was any doubt, there was no doubt that Coach Gruden was going to go for two. Really nice play call. Unfortunately, in a cruel twist of fate, former Raider Shelby Harris gets a pop and bats that thing down, and the Silver and Black finish their season 7-9. And I said before the season began, before all of the shenanigans from the receiver who shall not be named, I said, I think realistically looking at this team, and I was right on some things and I was very wrong on others, but I said at that point in July, looking at this team, 7 wins I thought would be a realistic mark and considered a success. Well, the team hit 7. Should they have hit 8? Should they have hit 9? Probably, but I still maintain 7 wins was going to be a W. They got to 7, but as our dear friend the Macho King, a.k.a. producer Steve, a.k.a. Uncle Stevie, brought up, he goes, it's a little hard to swallow that 7 wins when just 6 weeks ago you're sitting at 6-4 and you feel like you got everything in front of you. And it's a great point. I agree wholeheartedly with the Macho Man that when you finish the season the way that this team did, it does feel a little unfulfilling, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, 4 wins last year, right, producer Trav? We were at 4. Trav's nodding, so we're at 4. We go from 4 to 7. That is not an insignificant leap. It might be, quote-unquote, just 3 games, but that is a pretty significant leap in the NFL. And if you were to hypothetically win 3 more in 2020 in that brand-new palace in the desert, baby, you're looking at 10-6. And I know that it's hard to kind of count your chickens before they hatch, and of course the team's going to win more next year. But it is not insignificant that this team got to 7. It is not. Would 8-8 been a lot sexier? Would we be sitting here and feeling a lot better on a New Year's Eve? 100% if this team gets to 8-8. No doubt about it. But the fact is there were tangible, physical things that we saw this team do better in 2019 than in 2018. And that, my friends, is reason to celebrate. Another thing that this team did better in 19 than 18 was the play of the offensive line. And a big reason for that, one Richard Incognito. So, as I said, Richie signs a 2-year deal yesterday. He goes and meets with coach. He has team meeting, kind of handles the exit interview stuff. And then he is good enough, before he gets out of Dodge, to come in, come to the studio, sit down, and break it all down with us. And that does not go unnoticed. And I always tell you guys, I like to give props to the guys who go out of their way to come and help us out. Big shout out to Rich Incognito. So, without any further ado, here he is, your new left guard of the future, today, tomorrow, and the next day, Richie Incognito. 2-year extension, how does it feel to kind of have that clarity about where you're going to be, you know, playing your football for the next couple of years?
Yeah, a whole lot of emotions. I'm excited. I'm relieved. I'm proud. I'm definitely kind of just relishing the moment, you know, all the hard work that it's taken to get here and the opportunity that this brings to continue to grow with the Raiders organization. Extremely thankful and grateful to everybody that was involved from the top to the bottom, from Mr. Davis to Mike Mayock to John Gruden, Tom Cable, all the way down to the support staff. Everybody's welcomed me with open arms, and this relationship was bound to blossom and grow into what it is now.
You know, you said you're relieved to have this all done and signed and over with. Is that, can you feel that kind of weight off your shoulders? Like, all right, I know where I'm going. 2 years, you can, you know, like you said, focus on growing and being part of this next chapter of this organization.
Yeah, huge relief. A big weight lifted off the shoulders. Anytime you start talking about, you know, your future and money and stuff like that, it always kind of gets you uptight. But it was really easy. The Oakland Raiders came and showed me a tremendous amount of respect in the negotiation process. And we got a deal done that's good for both sides. And now it's awesome to focus on the offseason, you know, resting, getting my ankle right, and then getting back in the gym and working towards, you know, being the best Raider teammate I can be.
You know, when you signed here in late May, you know, Mike Maddox didn't mince any words. He said, we have big expectations for Richie. He goes, but he's here on a prove a deal. Now, do you feel like you came in and you proved everything you needed to prove, checked all the boxes, and that's, you know, kind of why you're sitting here today?
Yeah, I feel like for 2019, we definitely checked all the boxes. You know, when I came in, Mike and John laid out a gauntlet of things that I had to do and be accountable for in order to earn the right to step on the field as a Raider. And it was important for me to make everybody feel at ease. So I went through and I checked those boxes. And, you know, this is the reward, you know. I hope it's a sign to young guys and guys on the team here that, you know, if you come in, you do right, you play hard, the team will reward you. And it's exciting.
You know, guys talk so much, oh, you know, I don't care about what the outside people have to say. I'm worried about what's happening in the building. But is there any type of vindication for you now to be like, hey, I did it. I did everything I had to do. I checked all the boxes, like you said. And because of that, I've been rewarded.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of vindication in this. It's a really good feeling. You know, when I signed back in May, there was a lot of doubt and there was a lot of kind of negativity that surrounded it. And the Raiders doubled down. They threw their support behind me, allowed me to really just kind of focus on the task at hand. And, you know, I rewarded them with a great season. And in turn, they rewarded me with a new contract.
You know, since you've been here all the way back to May, everyone said it's such a fit. Richie and the Raiders, you know, the way that you guys mesh, what you do on the field. But is it exciting now to kind of see where that fit goes even more?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you get to someplace new, you know, there's always been talk about me being a Raider and me being, you know, the scheme fit, you know, the personality, the tenacious play on the field. And to actually see it kind of come to light and see how great it really is for me and for you know, the kind of, you know, legendary stuff that outside people talk about. It's a great fit. And to be able to continue on in such a storied organization, I really just want to go to Vegas and get as many wins as possible and get this program right back to where it's been.
You know, you look at this offensive line, too. It's got to feel good to know that you guys collectively have a chance to really grow and do something special. Now, you look at Colton's a young guy. Rod's one of the best centers in the NFL. Trent Brown's not going anywhere. Is that exciting for you to be a part of this next chapter for the organization, but this line in particular?
Yes, very exciting. This is by far the most talent I've ever been around on an offensive line, and it's really exciting. You know, to a man, Colton Miller, young, rising talent who played his butt off his second year in the league, made a big jump from his rookie year to his second year, really coming into his own, solid pass protector, getting after people in the run game. To my right, we got Rodney Hudson, who is a very well-respected man and player. Really enjoy playing next to Rod. He's a great dude. He's a tremendous center. Got Big Gabe on the right side, which a guy I love. You know, me and Gabe have been friends since before I came here, so I've always been excited to be a teammate of his. And then we got Big Trent over there at right tackle holding it down, and he's a stud. I mean, he's a shutdown guy. He's a legit tackle in this league. So you add me into the mix, and it's an exciting group. And I think it's one of the cornerstones of this organization moving forward, and exciting to be a part of it for two more seasons.
You know, another guy that's, you know, not on the line, but is part of that line, you dealt with him so much, is Josh Jacobs, an incredible rookie year. I mean, looking back now, obviously he misses a handful of games towards the end of the year, but what did you see from him in his rookie campaign in Silver and Black?
You know, he really exploded on the scene. He had kind of limited production at Alabama just because they had so much talent down there, and we knew he was going to be a special runner, but I really don't think we knew it would all come together so quick. You know, with the big offensive line up front, Josh really kind of finding some holes, making some holes on his own. You know, it's exciting. He burst on the scene, and I'm pulling for him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
You know, we've talked so much the past 9, 10 months, whatever it is, about Vegas, and it's on the horizon. But, you know, Coach was very – he went out of his way to be very respectful to Oakland. And, you know, when the time is there, we'll –
we'll get there. But for you now, that the time is now to look ahead to Vegas. And is that exciting for you to take a, you know, to take a moment and look ahead and like, hey, there's some really exciting things coming on the horizon for this organization. A new building, a new stadium, everything is going to be top of the line. That's got to be exciting for a guy in your position to look at.
Yeah, absolutely exciting. You know, with respect to Oakland and the fan base here, it's an incredibly difficult process. We had a good run here, and now we look forward to the next chapter in Vegas and going into a new building, going in there with a team that's going to be competitive and vying for the playoffs year in and year out. It's exciting. It's exciting because it's a fresh start for everybody, from players to coaches to the organization. And to go down there and play in front of new fans and start the culture of the Las Vegas Raiders is definitely exciting.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the fans because I think one thing that's been pretty cool for us from the outside looking in is seeing how the Raider Nation has really just taken you in. And there seems to be such a love affair between the two of you, you know, for you and the fans. And what has it been like to kind of have their support now and to know that, hey, they're stuck with me for another 2 years.
Yeah,
I'm not
right?
going anywhere.
It's awesome. Now, Raider Nation is unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, they're very passionate about their football and their Raiders, and they love to express it. I mean, our fans, you know, every time we leave, we got guys out front waiting for autographs, and they're always fired up. So it's been a great fit. You know, I obviously play my butt off, and I think fans can appreciate that. You know, they see a guy out there playing with some passion to try and get a win for them. So. It's great. You know, I know whenever we go on the road, it's always great to see Raiders fans in the stands. And I know when we go to Vegas, that place will be rocking.
I mean, you still feel like you have areas in your game where you can get better and you can even improve headed into 2020 and beyond?
Definitely. You know, there's always areas to improve on. It's little stuff, cleaning up technique, being able to play at a high level for 16 Sundays in the fall. You know, it's back to the drawing board, you know, back to training, back to getting the body healthy and then getting it strong and ready to go for next season.
All right, well, we're excited to have you here, man. Congrats.
Excited to be here. Thank you.
And a big shout out to Richie Incognito. It took us literally all year, Travi, to get him on the pod, but we snuck it in right before the end of 19. So congratulations to Richie. Congratulations to this offensive line. Congratulations to the silver and black that the offensive line will be strong like ox again in 2020. So very good news. For the last time this year, for the last time this decade, we have one shot, Travis. Are we going to finish 19 with a little sponsorship money? Hit me.
No.
Nothing. So we have, okay, well, that is disappointing but not unexpected. So for the final time in 2019, it is Victory Formation. Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, and we once again welcome in our trusty advisor, our czar, and it's getting close to KMM time as our junior draft analyst, our senior esports correspondent, and our resident expert in all things Southern California. KMM, are you tingling a little bit now?
Oh, man, you know, all eyes are on the draft, baby.
Yes, they are. We are going to get to the draft in all of its exciting, confusing, wild notions in just a bit. Maybe not on this episode, but in the coming days, weeks, and months. But we have to two things. I need to ask you your plan for Boring Game of the Year.
Oh, boy, okay.
How do you want to play it?
I did want to do the bracket, and I'm not going to lie to you. Truthfully, I forgot about the bracket.
That's fine. Honesty is key on this podcast.
But we can sift through real fast and find one game that truly disappointed everyone.
What if we did this? And while you do that, just let me riff.
Sure.
What if you picked like the five or six most boring games in your opinion, and then just ask the people, did a poll, twitter.com, poll.
Okay.
And then perhaps we could reveal it next week. Does that sound good?
Okay.
Is
All
that
right.
producing, Trev? Mm-hmm.
Get
it's
the people involved.
On the fly producing, yeah.
And the people involved. We'll have to have some sort of ceremony or something for the boring game of the year, I would imagine.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps we get a, oh, you know what we should do? We should get one of those big cupcakes and then put the candle in it and, like, we should present it to someone. Like, have someone here, like, wear, like, a hat, like a Redskins or whatever hat.
I think I know just the person.
Oh, I think.
Why don't we make a boring game of the week hat?
Oh, my God. Do we have the technology?
I would do it. I'd invest in that for sure. If Marcus can get DeMar cats, we can certainly get boring game of the week cats. What if that was our pod? What if we just branched off and had a boring game of whatever or boring whatever podcast? Now we're getting in the weeds a little bit, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, you can just go to Lids and get your hat. I mean, that's where the DeMarc hats came from.
I'm getting a boring game of the week hat for sure.
Oh, dude, that's not a bad idea. We don't have work for the rest of the week.
That's branding. Right,
is there a Lids near here or a place that does that? I don't even know.
We could ask Will Compton where he got his For the Boys hats engraved.
I imagine he probably bought those in bulk, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have the capital. I mean, for Christ's sake, we don't have any sponsorship dollars. We can't just go and buy 500 hats.
That's fair.
But let's do that. How about this? You come up with six games, or however many Twitter will allow. We'll unleash the poll maybe sometime this week, right? Because it'll be a slow week. And then next week, when we come back, when we return, we will have a ceremony presenting the boring game of the year.
I love it.
In games that won't be boring, though, segue, it's playoff picks time. And before we get into our picks, I think we need to establish what the punishment is going to be for last place.
Oh, boy. This is severe and a little bit over the top, but that we wouldn't do it for our playoff picks. But I tried to suggest in my fantasy league this year that whoever came in last had to go do an open mic comedy set.
Oh,
and
boy.
Everybody in the league had to go watch and boo them.
Oh boy, that is vicious.
Yeah, tell me that's not a good punishment, though.
It is a good punishment. Maybe a little excessive for our 4-week bit of playoff picks, but we need to have something. What do you think we should do? Like, I want to do something better than, like, loser has to buy his dinner or something. Like, you know, you want to have a little creativity. And for the record, it's the three of us and Socials are Matt Walks, who sent his picks via text message this morning.
Ah, okay. So we've eliminated Professor Kennedy and the OG Jim Plunkett.
I think the professor and Plunk are doing just fine without being in our picks pool.
Okay, all right. Let's let it marinate a little bit. But I agree. It should be something creative. It shouldn't be something bias lunch.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
Exactly.
Like go to the beach in a Speedo.
Yeah, something fun like that. And with these cold Alameda temperatures, that could be humiliating in more than one way.
Oh yeah.
All right, KMM. So. And when we come back next week after the new year, refreshed, re-energized, with good skin and good hair, you're going to unveil your boring game of the year, and we will unveil the punishment for our playoff picks, which will be kind of exciting because we'll already be a week into it.
Marvel.
So we'll get a live look at the big board, if you will.
Can't wait.
The big board. So should we just get into the picks straight off the bat?
Sure.
Should we go around the circle? Let us start with the first game on the docket. A game that actually I'm pretty intrigued by, Buffalo at Houston.
Ooh, that's tough because Buffalo, do they? Oh, no, they beat Dallas. They haven't played Houston, have they?
I don't believe they have.
In Buffalo.
Incorrect. In Houston.
Really? Interesting. I'm going to go Buffalo. I'm going to ride with Buffalo on this one. I don't want to doubt Deshaun Watson and D-Hop, but I think the Buffalo Bills are a more balanced team. And truthfully, I think John Brown can get passed with ease. And, you know, Josh Allen can get a ball over the top of Gerrion Conley, no problem.
All right, KMM has the Bills. Producer Travi?
I'm going to go Bills also. Right, the Bills Mafia.
This is going to be boring. I'm going Bills as well. I do love the Bills Mafia. I said that I'm going to be a Bills guy this postseason if we don't get in. We're sitting here in a quiet facility, so we did not get in. So, yes, Bills for me. And to really round out the boring nature of this, Socials are Matt also took the mighty Bills.
Mm, well.
So, a little consistency. What can you do?
Shout out Lee Smith, though.
Shout out to Lee. Well, shout out
and
Mongo
John,
and
yeah,
Mongo.
John Feliciano.
Come on, don't forget Mongo. Two Raiders legends. We move on to the evening game, I should say. And this is going to be a good one. Tennessee at New England. Tana Maya versus the GOAT. Derrick Henry versus that nasty, nasty defense. What do you got?
Man.
Tennessee's playing a great brand of football right now. The Patriots kind of.
Derrick Henry is a beast. The man went for over 220 yards last week.
Yeah, I wish he didn't.
Yeah, I think we all agree that we wish he didn't.
Yeah.
But, like you said, the Patriots offense hasn't looked that great. But, again, when can you doubt Tom Brady? Never.
Never.
But I'm going to this week. Let's go, Titans, baby.
Boy, KMM with the sneaky pick.
Do I care that it's in Foxborough? Nope.
Oh, boy, what a ballsy boy you
Has Ryan Tannehill been a better quarterback than Tom Brady this year? Yup.
Oh, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. But, okay, KMM takes the Titans. Producer Trav, what you got?
I'm going to go Patriots, of course. I mean, it's going to be raining on Saturday.
Are you pulling up the weather right now?
Yeah, it's a night game, so I just, you know, they got the elements.
The Titans got the best running back in that game, brother.
I don't
Ground and pound.
As much as I hate picking the Patriots, I got to pick them.
I'm a Trav, man. I got to go with the Pats. Until you knock the king off, you got to go with the Pats.
But it's got to happen at some point.
Yeah, it will. It sure will.
This is the first time they've been in the wild card game since 2009.
Good stat. Good stat. Nerd stat, but good stat. I said I'm going to go with the Patriots, as is Walks. So KMM, with a chance to take an early lead in the picks if the Titans game falls your way.
Can't wait.
Spicy boy. We move on to Sunday, where your 10-6 Minnesota Vikings travel to the Superdome to take on the 13-3 New Orleans Saints. KMM, who you got?
Saints, baby. You got to go with Michael Thomas, the all-time receptions leader in a single season. That man is a beast. No matter what route he runs, no matter who's in coverage, he gets open. And it's Drew Brees.
Can't guard Mike, right? Isn't that his Twitter handle?
Yeah, you can't guard Mike. Mm-mm.
Impossible.
Especially not in the Superdome.
Producer Trav, who you got?
No question, Saints.
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. I think this might be the most boring I think this might be the most boring game of the week. Brought to you by no one. But yeah, I'm going Saints too. I'm a big Drew Brees fan. Drew Brees in the postseason is a lot of fun. I think he wants to avenge how the NFL humiliated him last year. And yeah, Saints for me. Dalvin. Not Derwin, sorry. Dalvin Cook still rocking and rolling, KMM?
I don't know. I know he was hurt, I think, 2 weeks ago, because the Vikings were playing Matt Boone, their third-string running back.
A legend.
I don't know if they have Cook or Andrew Madison. I think that's his name. I'm not positive. I'm pretty sure, though.
Isn't Andrew? Oh, Ashley Madison is where you could go cheat on your wife, right?
Yeah. that's fun.
Yeah, good stuff.
Not fun to cheat on your wife.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. I would never.
How would you know that, Eddie?
Listen, man, dude, you were 13-2. When they played those commercials in the mid-2000s, they were 75 times a day on Comedy Central.
Very true.
Minimum.
Along with some other ones.
Yeah, which are not podcast appropriate, but we're thinking about the same ones. A lot of people having fun, say that, going wild. So, yeah, KMM, Saints, Woxy, boring boy, also taking the Saints. So you really could, if this breaks the right way, KMM, you could jump out to a very early lead.
Yeah.
On the field here.
I'm confident in it, man. I'm confident in it. Tom Brady can kick rocks.
I'm with you on that. Listen. He can kick rocks, but.
He's also the greatest of all time. We finish up the slate Sunday night, 4:40 p.m. Eastern. Well, I guess that's really afternoon here. Whatever. And this is going to be a good one. Seahawks, the 11-5 Seahawks, the Seahawks travel to Philly to take on the Eagles. Who you got?
Give me the birds in the Pacific Northwest.
Caw, caw.
Give me Russ Wilson and give me Money Lynch.
Mm.
I know he's a bit older now, but still.
Age is of no consequence to him, though.
No.
It's really not.
I mean, the man's been out of the game. Not doing anything. I saw him at AT&T in Emeryville not 3 months ago.
That's true. I do remember you when you came back in. You're like, oh, yeah, it's a go. You were getting a new battery, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, I saw the beast.
Yeah, just walking through, just doing his thing.
Was he hitting that P.F. Chang's?
No, he did not hit P.F. Chang's, but he looked like he had been to P.F. Chang's a couple of times.
Well, who hasn't?
Sure, but you catch my drift.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Ah, man, I would love to know what an off-season day looked like for the Beast, though, before he was picked up. Trav? Eagles, Hawks, who you got?
I got to go Seahawks.
Yep, I'm going Seahawks too. I'm not willing to go there yet, but the Hawks might be my sleeper Super Bowl pick. Not willing to go there yet. Want to see how everything moves and shakes on Sunday, but I am taking them on Sunday to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, the kings of that atrocity of a division.
Yeah, it really is. Their division is a joke.
MG Walks also taking the Seahawks. So we are all in unison this week, except for you. You are going to live and die by this Tennessee-New England game.
Oh, yeah, big Titans guy. Tighten up.
Big Titans guy.
A.J. Brown, he's been balling. I still don't think he's the rookie of the year. Josh Jacobs is the rookie of the year. But A.J. Brown has been balling. I mean, the kid's a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he's got 8 tutties.
Yeah, he's good, man. Yeah. He's real good.
And Ryan Tannehill, I told you earlier, Ryan Tannehill has been a better quarterback this year in the games he started than Tom Brady. And
I respectfully don't really agree with that, but
I'm going to pull up some stats to support my cause.
Some nerd stats.
Some nerd stats. Ryan Tannehill has thrown 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and has a rating of 117.5 over, one moment. He's done that in 10 games. Are you videotaping me right now?
No.
Oh, wow. All right. You never know. You're quick on the trigger on the Twitter sticks.
Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not. I was, if you must know, I got a push notification from NBC News. So.
Mm. And he has a completion percentage of 70%. So jot those down in your mind. 70% completion percentage.
All right. I'll write them down.
Okay.
That's what I'll do.
Okay. 2,700 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
22 touchdown passes. And 6 interceptions.
Yep.
In 10 games. Or 10 starts. 10
okay.
starts.
10 starts.
Tom Brady this year. Here we go. Here we go. Tom Brady has a completion percentage of 60.8. A full 10% worse.
Yep.
He's got 4,000 yards.
Yep.
24 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in 16 starts. So in 10 starts, Ryan Tannehill threw almost
Who's averaging more yards per game?
Yards per game?
I could do the math, but just by a quick look at the numbers, they look pretty even.
Yards per game, Tom Brady has 253.6. Ryan Tannehill has
228.5.
It's a toss-up.
It is. It sure is a toss-up. I mean, I do agree with you that it's probably closer than anyone would care to admit. But, I mean, Brady in the postseason, Belichick in the postseason, it's a different animal, baby.
I agree. I know. It's Tom Brady. You can't doubt Tom Brady. But
if there's a team that's going to be able to knock them off, though, it is going to be a team like the Titans, a team that likes to run the ball, can control the line of scrimmage, control the clock, control the time of possession. It's going to be a slugfest.
The Patriots had one of the best defenses the first half of the year, and then last week, Ryan Fitzpatrick just slinging the ball on him.
You leave Fitzmagic out of this.
I'm just saying. In Foxborough, Ryan Fitzpatrick went in there and was just slinging it against Stephon Gilmore, who claims wide receivers are too scared to talk to him. So all I'm saying is they can bleed just like the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, they are just men.
They're just men.
It'll be a good game. Honestly, I think the most intriguing game of that four game stretch. But we shall see.
Yeah, indeed we will.
Live by the Titans and die by the Titans. The KMM mantra for 2019 into 2020.
Let's do it.
2019's over, though. That's kind of a trip. That's weird.
The decade's over.
What was your best moment of... I already know what yours is going to be.
Mine's easy. I got to say it, too.
Your engagement.
Yeah.
Trev, what was your best moment of the 2010s?
Oh, boy.
I think college graduation would be up there for me, too, though.
Yeah, graduating college.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
4 decades from my best decade or my best moment of the 2040s will be paying off my college education.
That's a good one.
Shout out Sally Mae.
Oh, man. Shout out Great Lakes.
I don't mean to be a cheesy boy, But I would say that getting my job here was probably the best moment of the decade for me.
Not the graduation of college?
No, that was cool. That was cool, but you both just said that, so I thought I'd mix it up.
Yeah, that's nice.
Met some great people here, right?
I've met some outstanding people here.
You've met some bad people, too.
Sure, sure. But, yeah, man. First big boy job out of college. Here we are, 4 years later.
And now you're buying an Audi. No. You know?
I wish I was buying an Audi. I'm not buying an Audi.
I was going to say, look at you. You're a change man. You got glasses.
You don't have an evil goatee anymore.
As our boss, Vittorio De Bartolo, says, I'm apparently the most changed individual since joining the service.
Yeah.
For good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, just different. You're different. Yeah, you're different. Shout out the philosopher to comma chains. Blessings to you, chains, wherever you are. You guys are New Year's Eve guys before we get out of here?
Yeah, that's fun, but I'm not a New Year's resolution kind of guy.
That doesn't surprise me.
Why would you need one day to just completely alter your life? You should be able to change your life at the moment you want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to forget about it a week later anyways.
Yeah, and the gym is always ridiculous.
Oh, dude, don't get me started. Don't get me started. You keyed me up. You poured gasoline and just...
The gym the first month after New Year's is a complete sham.
It's an abomination. Dude, I've already started planning... God, I'm going to sound like such a D-bag. D-bag. I'm going to sound like such a D-bag. But I've already started planning my workouts out and what time I'm going to go so I don't have to deal with the crush of people.
Give me the times.
5 a.m.
Either that or New Year's Day, so which is tomorrow. God, that's crazy. So tomorrow I'm going to go for like a nice 5-mile run just so I don't have to deal with any of it. Then Thursday, Friday, we're not here, so I'm going to wake up like my normal time, 5:50 approx a.m., and just go straight then, not have to deal with the crowds. Be home by 7:30, maybe have a couple eggs, some toast. But you're right, dude. It is a terrible, and I feel bad every year because it's people who obviously want to, you know, change their life for the better and, you know, be healthier. And I'm all for that. But it's like, oh, my God. Dude,
you can change your life at any time of the year.
I know, but I'm just saying I feel bad wanting these people to get out of the gym.
It's pure pressure. Everyone, you know, feels they need to do it because, you know, everyone's talking about it.
If we want to go down the rabbit hole of fraudulent New Year's resolutions and holidays, Valentine's Day is a joke, too.
Valentine's Day is a commercial holiday.
Yeah,
we all know it's a
corporate. It's just it.
Safeway had Valentine's Day stuff out before Christmas.
What?
Yes.
Dude, let me talk to the manager, please.
It was a little end cap, but I saw it and I was disgusted.
The only thing that I like about all these fakakta holidays they come up with. I can say that, right?
Fakakta? Yes, I don't know what that means.
It's like my grandma used to say it all the time. It's all fakakta. It's a nice way to say bull-ass. You know what I mean? The only good thing about them is when you go to Safeway, I'm a big Reese's guy. Shout out my friend, my close personal friend, Jim Nagy, at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. But I love the Reese's. And each holiday, they have the different Reese's. So you get the Christmas trees, you get the hearts.
Here's a question. You know, which one's your favorite?
Well, I like the hearts.
The hearts are good. I think the pumpkin might be my favorite.
Ooh, pumpkin's good. I also like the bunnies.
Because
I feel like the bunnies are a little bit bigger. Ones, yeah. They're dense.
We're on the
dense
same
boys.
Wavelength.
That's a thick bunny, I'll tell you that. That's a thick bunny. But, yeah, man, that's the only good part of it.
What will you guys be doing to ring in the new year?
Hopefully I'm asleep. That's kind of my plan. Although the boss has other ideas. She said that because it's the decade, she wants to be awake for some reason to ring it in. I told her.
You're not staying up till midnight.
No. I mean, I was going to go to dinner. Well, if she wants to, we will probably try. But if I were a betting man, which for the record, I'm not. That's not me. But if I were, we're going to go to dinner. I think we're going to try to link up with you guys for a little bit. And Kirsten will fall asleep at approx 11 p.m. on the couch.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what we're doing. So
that's good, though. You're not tied
to anything.
We'll
probably just have dinner and, yeah.
That's honestly the way to do it, man.
It's amateur night.
You know what? It is amateur night. The only thing that upsets me about going out on a New Year's for dinner, because typically Kirsten and I go to a dinner, regardless of whether we have plans or no plans. We like to at least get out, right? At least feel the rhythm of the people.
Energy.
Feel the energy. Yeah. We go to dinner, and I hate these menus. They're the price prefix, whatever the French term for it is. Like, I mean, It's ridiculous. One, they're obviously always way more expensive than they should be. But I don't like going to a restaurant and someone telling me what I'm going to eat for dinner. I'm a man. I'm 40. It upsets me, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm
especially
with you.
If you go to a restaurant where you're like, oh, they make a really good chicken parmesan, or they make a really good this. But
you're
oh,
not
you can't
getting
get
that
it. I'm not getting it. I'm getting the rigatoni a la New Year's bowl nonsense because that's what Chef Tony in the back wanted
well,
to do.
Well, unless you're going to, like, the French Laundry or something, which you know.
T-Bone,
like,
we don't got French Laundry
I know
money,
we
baby.
Don't.
Come on, you know that.
We've been trying every training camp. I got to save up some pennies.
Although a big shout-out to our respective bosses, Vito and Brad. They took us to a very lovely dinner at a STK in Denver to kind of celebrate the end of the regular season, and it was
good.
Stellar.
It was like a club vibe.
Oh yeah, it was
very
weird. It was very erotic in there, wasn't it?
They said that they were going to turn the restaurant into a club or a bar for New Year's tonight. Did they not?
Yeah.
All you can drink, which seems like a terrible
for
idea.
4 hours, right?
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Oh man,
I'm telling you guys straight up. At my wedding, it is. Well, I guess it's all you can drink, but. It's not for, well, oh, geez. Actually, as I'm saying this out loud, that's exactly what's going to happen at my wedding.
That's good, though. It's a celebration.
Yeah, man, but I don't want anyone to die.
If they die, it'll be a memory. That's probably how they wanted to go out.
I know the answer to this, but if one person we knew was going to die at my wedding.
Rod.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
I don't even want to say it. I don't want to put it in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know.
But what are you doing, KMM?
I'm going to go to our engineer Jim's casa.
Yeah, you're on trial separation, are you not?
Yeah, the lady and her family are in the Big Apple.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
So I'm at home alone with her cat. And
what's the cat's name?
Cleopatra.
Oh, Cleo the cat.
Is it a good cat?
Honestly, I despise cats. No offense to cat lovers out there, but this cat is fantastic. Doesn't like goes in the litter box when they're supposed to, doesn't scratch up the furniture, doesn't really shed, which is wild. All around great cat.
What
the
kind
only
of cat?
Siamese.
Can you say that? Is that an appropriate term now?
Siamese?
Yeah
it's a Siamese
it's
cat.
It's a breed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I always want to be careful to make sure everything is politically above board on this but podcast.
I'm calling it what it is. It is called a Siamese cat.
We have one of those tuxedo cats, and he's a real jerk. So that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a previous cat to this, Travis?
Yeah,
that was a good cat, right?
Oh yeah. Shout out Yoda, the black cat.
He's resting in power now, is he not?
He went outside, and we live on a very busy street, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Sure. What do you not like about the cat, though, KMM? You said there was something. You're like,
well, she's kind of needy. So she's kind of vocal. Like, if you're not, she'll follow you around pretty much everywhere. She's not a cat that goes and hides, but she'll follow you around and then she'll meow at you until you, like, sit down so she can kick it with you, which isn't, like, the worst thing in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she just wants to cuddle and love on you, but give me some space. Give me some space.
I have this picture of you and the cat with your little headphones on playing Fortnite or whatever game you're playing. Like, you got a little oh, no. Are you pulling up a picture?
Angela wanted a
picture
last night.
Oh, no.
Me and the cat just locked in, bro.
Oh, that's literally the picture I was talking. I'm going to take a picture out of here. Oh, that is tremendous. Oh, that is great, Asa. Oh, that is... That's literally what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah, dude, she won't leave me alone. Like, I went to brush my teeth the other night, just chilling on the sink. Get out of here. Scram.
Yeah. What game were you playing when the cat was hanging out?
I was playing Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It made me laugh, though. I was, like, literally locked in, and I looked to my right, and she was on the armrest, just posted watching.
You got to get her a little headset like yours.
Oh, man, that'd be a great photo shoot.
Oh, boy, on that note, I guess we should leave. It's New Year's Eve. No one is... it's time to go home.
Yeah,
it's been a good year, though, boys. It's been a good year. In terms of our production schedule, though, Producer Travi, we're back on Thursday next week, right, following the break. Can you confirm that? We'll be on Thursday. We have a couple... We'll be normal for a couple weeks. So it'll be Thursday, 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 you know, going forward. You're not getting rid of us that easy. But then, and we're working out the details, we're going back to Miami We're going to Miami, boys. Going for the Super Bowl, and we'll have to figure out the production schedule for that that week when we get down there. But
I know you already have your wardrobe schedule picked out, though.
I was just telling Travis not an hour ago. I need to go see my silk guy because Daddy needs a few more shirts because Eddie Rick Ross Pascal is about to descend on South Beach. I'm actually more of a Westwood guy myself. South Beach is a little, it's for the uncle. It's amateur hour, as Trav would say. South Beach is dope, but I like to be a little more authentic in my experiences in Florida, if you catch my drift.
Fair enough.
We'll have a good time. But that's for further down the road. We got a lot to get to in between now and then. So Raider Nation, thank you for hanging out with us in 2019. We have had a blast making this silly little program that for some reason you guys listen to. It has been so much fun. We are going to be back in 2020. As I said, every week we are not going anywhere. So get us on your whatever, I don't know, the apps you guys got to use to listen to this. You guys know the gist. But we're going to be back. Enjoy your new year. Be happy. Be healthy. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Crush some brewskis in our honor, but do it in a safe, contained environment, and don't get behind the wheel. It's that easy in 2020. Just hop in a – I know Kyle wants me to say to hop in a Lyft. I can't – I don't know if I'm contractually allowed to say that. Whatever method you want to get home, just make sure you're not the one driving if you're out there crushing cold ones. So, for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, KMM, the great Richie Incognito, engineer Jim, and everyone else in our Silver and Black Productions family that gets this program from A to Z, we thank you, Happy New Year's, and we will catch you guys in 2020.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.